Back on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu, filling in for Tom. Besides searching people bodily, the Transportation Security Administration watches travelers in airports looking for suspicious behaviors. But TSA has little evidence the behaviors mean anything at all. That's according to the Government Accountability Office. Jenny Grover is the Director of Homeland Security and Justice Issues at the Government Accountability Office. She joined Tom Temin to talk about it.
You have looked at this about 2 years ago and had the same findings that they are not using scientifically proven methods for being able to, I guess, externally determine people's motivations.
That's exactly right. Several years ago, we reported that TSA didn't have evidence that the behavioral indicators that they were looking at could be used to identify people who pose a risk to aviation security. And so we recommended at that time that TSA should limit future funding until they could provide valid evidence of effectiveness of the program.
They were looking at non-scientific articles or informal interviews in which others were saying, yeah, this is a pretty good sign that someone's under stress or that kind of thing, rather than really scientifically proven studies.
Well, that's exactly right. And the thing is, the way the program works is that TSA screeners are observing travelers. And what they're doing is they're looking for specific behaviors that TSA believes are indicative of someone who has the level of stress or deception that would be consistent with, like, someone who is trying to carry out a terrorist attack. And depending on the airport, they're either trying to keep in their mind 36 indicators or 94 indicators. So all of these different behaviors that the screeners are looking for. So what we did is we asked TSA to review the evidence that they had for these different behaviors, and we found the vast majority of them are news or opinion sources, like news articles or online medical websites. Really very few were the sort of original research, you know, well-supported evidence that would give confidence that these indicators really are likely to be evidence of someone who poses a terrorist threat.
I guess the question is then, for all of these factors that they list on their form, and some of them are, you know, arrives late for the plane or excessive perspiration or their Adam's apple jumps when they're questioned, this kind of thing. Is there scientific evidence for any of those at all, or are they just not finding the right evidence?
We found that TSA had at least one decent source of evidence for 8 of the indicators that they're using. But for the vast majority of them, they don't have any decent source of evidence. And so what that tells us is that TSA is operating a program where they're spending nearly $200 million a year. They don't have evidence of effectiveness. And obviously it has an impact on the traveling public. So it's really important across the U.S. to everyone flying, not only for ensuring aviation security, but ensuring that when people are stopped and potentially referred to get a pat down, to have their carry-on baggage screened, or even potentially referred to law enforcement, that TSA should have good evidence that the behaviors that they're looking for really are indicative of terrorist intent.
Is there any indication of how many people they stop a year, and do they keep statistics on those stopped under this, I guess it's called the SPOT program, how many people they stop and how many terrorists they've actually found or people that might have harm in mind for an aircraft?
You know, I don't have information about that. When we looked at this issue several years ago, TSA had some data, but it would generally be considered sensitive. But that's exactly the concern, is that with the large number of travelers, and this program is being carried out across 87 airports. So many, many travelers will encounter this type of targeting as they travel. And so what we would encourage for TSA at this point is really the same recommendation that we made several years ago, which is that they should make sure that they have evidence of effectiveness for the program to justify the taxpayer investment of nearly $200 million a year, to make sure that the aviation security is working as intended, and to make sure that travelers who are being targeted and inconvenienced, that targeting and inconvenience is being offset by the value to aviation security that TSA thinks it's providing.
We're speaking with Jenny Grover, Director of Homeland Security and Justice Issues at the Government Accountability Office. I guess I'm a little surprised that if you pointed out the exact same thing, I guess it was in 2015, that TSA didn't go ahead and kind of launch a literature search to at least justify some of these, and maybe in so doing, they could reduce their form and the complexity of what officers are trying to find a great deal.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. So TSA did take some steps in response to our earlier report. They did reduce the number of officers using behavior detection from about 3,200 to about 2,400. And they did try to reduce the complexity of the number of behaviors that they were looking for. You know, they in our previous report, they were looking for 94 indicators. That's an awful lot to try to keep in one's mind. And there's a point system that the officers use where they're, as they're observing behavior, they're trying to assign a certain number of points before they get to the trigger level where the traveler would be referred for additional screening. So that's still the way the program is operating at 77 airports. But in the intervening years, TSA gathered together a number of subject matter experts and they asked them for their opinion on how to consolidate and simplify the number of behaviors. And that's how they came up with this revised list of 36 that's being piloted at 10 airports. So I think TSA's intent as they go forward is to try to move all of the 87 airports with this behavior detection going on to that shorter list. But whether you have a list of 94 or a list of 36, unless TSA has evidence of the effectiveness of the program, which is really two things. First of all, that the behaviors should be correlated with deception, with the intent to do harm in the aviation system. And secondly, TSA should have evidence that the screeners can actually identify people who are exhibiting those behaviors consistently. TSA doesn't have evidence for either of those two pieces. So until they do, whether you're going with 94 or 36 behaviors, it's still a program that's being operated without evidence of effectiveness.
Yeah, some of them are, I guess, a little comical. If someone appears to be in disguise, they get 3 points and all of this. I don't know whether that's still the case. This is the old form that I'm looking at because it kind of got leaked out all over the internet. But just tell us briefly how this whole system works. There are people that are not at the screening stations for baggage and the metal detectors and the scanners. These are people standing off to the side or sitting in seats looking at people. Is that how it works?
Right. Well, so what TSA has done is over just the past year, they have moved the program now. So the way it works is that the people who are at the checkpoint, the TSA officers who are checking your driver's license or maybe who are wandering through the line while you're waiting there with your bags, they are doing behavior detection now. And they can ask the traveler questions about their travel plans and how they're doing. And then based on the conversation and the behaviors that they observe as they are counting the point system in their mind, then they can decide whether to refer the person for additional screening like a pat down or to have their carry-on baggage opened and searched or even to refer to local law enforcement.
So they're really doing this based on an artistic sense, you might say, rather than any kind of objective or scientific reality.
Well, that's a really important point, is the question about whether it's possible for the screeners to apply these behaviors consistently or whether there's an element of subjectivity in how they're applied. And we did look at that several years ago. We did interviews with a number of the officers using behavior detection, and at least 21 of the officers we interviewed agreed that there was some subjectivity. And in fact, there have been questions about whether there could be racial profiling in the program that have come up, you know, for as long as since 2010. So that is a concern.